Hello. Welcome to our verse-by-verse in-depth Bible study with Bible teacher Dr. Bob Utley. Now, here's Bob.
That's where I really want to focus in on tonight. I want to focus in on chapter 5, 1 through 11, because my opinion, this is the most detailed theological discussion of not only how we're justified, but what it means to be justified. And so really, in verses 1 through 5, is the subjective experience of being right with God. How does it feel? What does it do for us? What's in it for me? Boy, 1 through 5 is going to tell us what's in it for you to know God. And then verses 6 through 11 are really going to tell us how God accomplished that. So, 1 through 5 is the subjective aspect of the gospel, and 6 through 11 is the objective facts of the gospel. And I think we've got to see there are two sides to this whole count. One is that God has done something in history for us. But number two is we must personally respond to what God has done, and you've got to have the truth of the gospel and a response to the gospel for the gospel to become relevant, active, in a person's life. So we're going to look at both of those. Now, verse 2. Through whom we have obtained an introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. This word have obtained is in perfect tense. Now look at your outline if you have one and watch what I'm doing. Perfect tense is something that happens in the past. It results in a state of being that implies its continuance through time. It's something that happens in the past that results in a state of being. I have... Now, the word you... Do you have introduction in your translation, or do any of you have the word access? What translation, Johnny? New International. Great. The book of Hebrews has this word over and over about coming boldly to God's throne of grace. We have access to God through Christ. This is a word that was used numerous ways in the Greek language. It was used for a little ship that would come out in the harbor and take a big ship to port because the big ship didn't know how to go to the right place. It was used of someone who introduced you to the king, introduced you to royalty. Jesus has given us a personal introduction to God. And the word here about the introduction in which we stand, it's the idea that Jesus has brought us right before the Father and said, Father, I want you to meet John. John, I want you to meet your Heavenly Father. And friends, that's not something that happens just one time. It's perfect tense. We were introduced in the past, and guess what? We remain intimate friends. this finally hit me. I guess as a child, I really was afraid somewhat of men growing up in a home without them. It was a Sunday school teacher when I was in about third, fourth grade who really helped me have my first friend as a Christian man. But I can remember in my little mind thinking what God must be like. And this will seem so crude to you, but it's so meaningful to me. When I was young and just did not have anybody to go to and talk to, I really pictured God as a man in Bermuda shorts with one of those low-neck V T-shirts that would let me come and sit in his lap and play with the hair on his chest. And I know it sounds so funny. There was nothing more when I was really hurting than I could just get up in God's lap. And I want to tell you what, it finally hit me. You know, when the kids come in, they don't have to be announced anymore, do they? Have you ever seen that new show on TV, Mr. President, you know? His kids don't knock on the door of the Oval Office. If they're kids, they just come bouncing in. They jump on the table. They play with the ink pen, you know. They sit in Daddy's chair. They drink his special water and spit it back in the glass. You know, they do everything. God lets me come to Him like that. I don't have to have an introduction anymore because I'm part of the family. And I can get right up on the throne with Him. And He never says, I'm too busy, I'm too tired, I have too much to do, you've been too much of a nerd this week, come back later. No. It's always welcome. Welcome. In which we stand, perfect tense. This is a word that speaks of the assurance of our relationship. Friends, listen to me. Please listen to me. If I could break my relationship with God, I'm sure I'd do it. I don't think I can break it. Because it wasn't initiated by me. It wasn't something I performed to get. And it's something I can't perform to keep. I stand in it because He's the one that called me. He's the one that bought me. He's the one that made the provision. And He's the one that keeps me. Hallelujah. In which we stand. And we exult in the hope of the glory of God. The word exult is used several times here in really some surprising ways. Here it's, and I can understand that, we're happy, we rejoice, we bubble over in the hope of the glory of God. It's not the hope of salvation. We've talked about salvation in which we stand. We have an introduction and it's there. So what are we hoping in the glory of? Well, this is the idea of hoping in our glorification. This is the idea that one day we are going to see Him like He is and be like Him. 1 John 3:2 does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when we see Him, we'll be like Him. This is the idea that we know that one day we're going to have a resurrection body just like Jesus. That as Jesus is the first fruits, all of us are going to be part of that great host of the redeemed. We hope in the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations. I must have misread that. We also exult in our tribulations. This is present middle. We ourselves continue to rejoice in our problems. Oh my, how can that be? That sounds so different from what I hear. Can we really exult in problems? When you know who your daddy is, and you know that daddy won't let go, and you know that daddy's got a plan, and you know the goal of God for every Christian is not health, wealth, prosperity, and good cheer, but Christ-likeness, you can hope in the problems life brings. Because problems are the supernatural pruning that make us bear more fruit. Matter of fact, I'm going to preach Sunday morning, next Sunday morning, on why Christians suffer. Because I don't think we understand that. This says we're going to hope because God, through the problems we face, is going to build character into us. Look at that. He's going to build, tribulation builds perseverance, which is brave endurance, voluntary, steadfast endurance. And this kind of endurance is proven character, and proven character never lets us down. Well, you say, well, Bob, what do you mean? Well, I think it's the kind of thing when God tells Abraham, take your son, your only son, the son of promise, Isaac, to a mountain that I will show you and sacrifice him there to me. The Bible says early in the morning, Abraham got the wood, got the donkey, got the servant, got Isaac, and left. It's when I see Joseph being thrown into a pit by his own brothers and his coat being made bloody like he had been killed. Now, you got to admit, Joseph was kind of a smarty by telling his brothers they're going to bow down to him. But nevertheless, they threw him in the pit. Then they sold him to slavers. And he got all that trouble in Egypt, got thrown into prison, all of that mess. But later on in Joseph's life, he said to those same boys that did it, you did not send me here. God sent me here to preserve life. Test. Trial. Oh, pain. I think of a young church in Jerusalem who was just really reaching out, winning the priest. And the Bible says persecution hit that church. And then it says they went everywhere preaching the word. The persecution was the means for the spread of the gospel. I want to tell you, the Bible even says of Jesus Christ, Hebrews 5:8, that He was perfected or matured by the things that He suffered. Now, not His divinity, of course. But humanly speaking, He had prepared for what God wanted Him to accomplish. And the means of preparation was problems and pressures, suffering, tribulations. If Jesus went through that, so will you. But if you know who you are, you can handle it. Let me continue then. And the hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Spirit. You might want to write Acts 10:45 right there above verse 5. For this is where it says the Holy Spirit has been poured out in our hearts. The idea here is that through the problems we face that we're going to have more and more of whatever we need from God to face and overcome. I think of that thing where in Acts it says, "Do not worry about what you're going to say, for in that day they drag you before courts. The Holy Spirit will speak for you." I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what, when you close the door, what's on your heart. But I know this. There is a God who has a plan for your life, and His plan is your maturity and your Christ-likeness. And 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells me He's never given you more than you can bear, and that everything that happens, it just doesn't happen to God, kids. Our lives are not controlled by chance or fate or horoscope or circumstances or what-ifs or maybe-could-be's. And we can stand because God will give us the ability and the spiritual strength to stand. Amen? The old ship may be weathered, but the old girl hadn't sunk, has she? Now, let me continue then. Now, that's what it means for us. Look at the experience. We have peace. We have introduction. We have access. We exult in the hope. We have character building. Now, we have the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 6 now. Here's why we have all that. Number one, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, what we're going to do, if you'll watch your translation with me, verse 6 and verse 8 are exactly parallel. And many of these concepts are said several different ways to make sure you get the thrust. Number one, and I'm in the first part of verse 6. God did not choose you because you chose Him. God chose you while you were running from Him. 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation. Think about that. You didn't come to God. I hear people say, it's almost like, boy, God got a real bargain when God got me. Oh, yuck, yuck, yuck. You ain't no prize, fella. God picked you when there was no potential in your life. No value, no righteousness, no goodness. That's when He loved you. That's when Christ died for you. It's not merit on your part. It's love on God's part. And this word Christ died, aorist tense. His death was sufficient once and for all. The word for here is the word huper, which means on our behalf, in our place. It's the substitutionary atonement. Look at verse 8, same thing. For God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How do I get all the blessings of God? Keep all the rules, join the right group, read my Bible every day, pray every day, tithe. How do I get the blessings of God? Everything you have, you already have in Jesus Christ. All that Christian maturity brings is a recognition of what we already had the first moment we trusted Him. Maturity is nothing more than learning the ropes of the Christian life. Maturity is nothing more than finally seeing the wealth of the gold mine that is completely ours the moment we trusted Christ. Notice where it says, verse 9. Much more then, having now been justified, aorist passive, just like back up in verse 1, by His blood, His death, we shall be saved. Well, I think I did this one time with you, but I'll do it quickly. I see the time getting away. If I ask you, does the Bible say we're saved, we're being saved, or we shall be saved? Which does it say? Yes, it does. It's kind of hard for us to catch that because we're so used to saying, are you saved? We really forget there is a progress in salvation as well as there's a beginning to salvation. Both are true. The day you trusted Christ, you weren't mature in Christ. So I really think that when we know Him, it's when we could say we're justified, we're saved. Our relationship with God has been put in place. But being saved is how we learn more of who we are. We struggle with the maturity that even Jesus struggled with. But this right here is the concept of glorification. We shall be saved. And when shall we be saved? On that day when we see Him like He is. On that day when the eastern skies open. On that day when the archangel blows his trumpet and the dead in Christ rise. That's when we'll know Him. Notice it continues when it says, "Be saved from the wrath of God through Him." As much as I love to talk about the gospel and justification, I have great, overwhelming, foreboding fear for those who don't know our Christ when Jesus comes back. As good as Jesus is, as wonderful as heaven's going to be, is as bad as hell's going to be. Friends, there is a day coming that it's impossible for me in biblical words to talk about without you thinking I'm becoming over-emotional. God is really upset at what man's done to His creation. And God's going to hold man responsible. And man's going to give an account of every word and every idle deed done in the body. We're going to stand before a living God. It is an awesome thing to fall in the hands of a living God. You say, "Bob, you're trying to scare me." Friend, to God that I could scare you. For there's a reality coming that I can't even perceive. There's a disaster coming for those who refuse to trust our Christ, that human words can't even penetrate the horror of this thing. We can call it fire. We can call it outer darkness. We can call it the worm never dies. We can call it gnashing of teeth. We can call it everything we can imagine. But the truth is that one day those who don't know Him are going to have to go away from Him. And friends, the wrath of God's real. And the only thing that keeps us from the wrath of God is the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. And our accepting that death. Be saved from the wrath of God. For if, first class conditional, since, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. There's that incident again and again. How much more now, having been reconciled, aorist passive, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. The word reconciliation means to exchange something. We exchanged rags for a purple robe. We exchanged sin and death and hell for holiness and fellowship and family with God. We exchange a life of purposelessness to a life of purposefulness. Exchanged. We were reconciled. Boy, I tell you, when I think of that, I just got to read this to you. I think it's one of the greatest passages that say not only have we been reconciled, but we have a ministry of reconciliation. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 18. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. But He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled for God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And maybe just one more. Colossians chapter 1, 19 through 23. Colossians chapter 1, 19 through 23. For it was the Father's good pleasure that all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death, in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and above reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Could I read just one more? Ephesians 2:16 through 22. And might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. And through Him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing up into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Oh, if you're a Christian tonight, ought to cause you to giggle all over. You just can't imagine who you are. You just can't imagine what you already have in Him. You just can't imagine what the Lord's done and how He's protected and sealed you and all the resources you have. White as snow tonight. No one can bring a charge against you in the spiritual realm. You have the fullness of the Godhead indwelling you. You have a place prepared for you in heaven. Woo-hoo-hoo! But if you're here tonight and you're lost, there's nothing but pain and alienation. There's nothing but the prospect of your own eternal separation from God, who loves you, but provided a way for you to be right with Him. Friends, I want to tell you tonight, I'm not going to ask people to come and join a Baptist church tonight. I'm not going to do that. If you want to, good. I think it's a pretty good place. I'm not going to do that, though. But I want to tell you tonight, if while I've been talking about how good it is and how God's provided everything we have in Christ, if somehow deep in your heart the Spirit has been tugging at you, and you have sensed a need to have these truths and realities in your own life, my invitation tonight is come to Jesus. Oh, friends, you can't imagine what it's like to come to Jesus. If you don't know Him, it's like a brand new start. It's like really having the past dealt with. It's like a new self-image based on Him and not on you. It's like a brand new purposeful life. It's like a real fellowship. It's like going to sleep and not being afraid. It's like seeing problems and knowing that God's with you. And it's like one day when you hear a trumpet, it won't be, "Oh me," it'll be, "Daddy, here I am." Do you know Him, friend? Have you trusted Him? Would you bow your heads with me? If you're here tonight and as I've spoken, the Lord has just revealed to your heart that you really don't know Him, oh, you can right now. All I ask you to do is in your heart right now, not verbally, just in your heart, be willing to say, "Oh, Lord, I want that. I want that. I want to be justified. I want to have peace. Oh Lord, I want to be able to handle problems. I want to feel your presence and your spirit. Oh, in any words that you feel comfortable saying, just open yourself up to God. Just tell him how you feel and that you want to know him right now. If you've never done that, would you just say, oh God, help me to know you. Help me to trust you. Help me understand more about what Jesus has done for me. I accept him. I think the bells of heaven will ring. Christian, it would be so appropriate in this moment, as we have gone through some of the most tremendous theological blessings, not only factually, but subjectively, of what it means to be a Christian, doesn't your heart just want to say thank you tonight to him? Don't you just want to tell him how much you appreciate what he's done for you in Jesus? That he loved you while you were yet sinners. Don't you want to thank Jesus tonight for dying in your place, being willing to leave heaven's riches and come? Don't you want to thank the Holy Spirit for bringing to your minds the truth of the gospel? The wealth of joy of being in him. Doesn't your heart just want to bust with thanksgiving right now? Tell him. Oh, tell him he loves to have you talk to him.